Because the time that we're in, a couple of things. It kind of, I only wanted to focus on one, and then there was two, and I go, but Lord, we've only got like an hour or so to share this. I was trying to keep it an hour, but I may not be able to do that. We'll see. Maybe make it a two-parter, but maybe we can get this through. Because it is important. Two areas. What I started looking at was like-mindedness. Now, we know that how important that is to have what? Like minds. Because I'm going to tell you what. You already know that if you've got two people with different minds, how does it go? Not very good. Not very good. And so I think we want to look at that a little bit today in some scriptures, but we want to look at it in the emphasis of like-minded as Christians, because we need to be thinking similar, and that's what a lot of that is as far as in the Christian side, is for us to have the like mind towards the things of God. You know, if my mind is saying salvation is through Jesus Christ, because that's what the Bible says, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, no one cometh to the Father but through him, that's my mindset. But my mindset is set upon his word. And if I come across somebody and says, well, yeah, but I believe that I've been taught if you're good, you can go to heaven. Or I believe that somebody can pray me into heaven after I'm dead. We would not have the same mindset. You know, I would respect your thoughts that way, but I could not glean that same understanding. And it's not that I'm perfect, but it's just by what I have learned out of his word and his scripture. And understanding that before we get into any context of where we are in God and faith and trust and all that is, we've got to get to the common set that this is God's word. It is, the good and the bad. There's bad in there? Well, yeah, there's bad only when you're bad. It tells you you're bad, you know. So it's like, you know, yes. We've got to understand that. And that's where I come from in my faith and my trust with God, is that I read his word and I just believe it for what it is. And so I began to have a mindset change. I was believing at one time I didn't need to be water baptized by being dunked. I was sprinkled as a child. That's all I needed. That's what I thought was the whole key to water baptism. And then we can get into a lot of the ordinances that are in the Bible, and that can kind of splinter out into a lot of areas, huh? Communion and water baptism are the two ordinances that really were to follow. But after I began to read the word and understand it more, and my spirit began to be, because like that one song we sang, stir up a hunger in me, he can take a hardened heart and he can change it and soften it to hear from him. And we've got to have our hearts softened. This world makes our heart hardened already. How many here? The world can harden your heart, like, you know. And so God has to initially get through that. And for him to get through that, I've got to initially say, help me, Lord, you know. Help me understand you. Help me realize what the truth is. And so we read the word, and we read the red, and we read what Jesus said. And, you know, that's the format that took me down the path. I needed to be dunked, water baptized, not to save me, but to show an outward appearance of what things have changed within Tim. And that's all that baptism is. You bury and you come up a new person. And it's to show those around you that your life has changed and you're a new creation. It doesn't cleanse you of your sins. What cleanses us of our sins? The blood of Jesus. What gains us access to heaven and eternity? Not the water and coming out of it, but receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so these are common things within the scriptures that we hope to follow and we need to follow and try to do it the best we can. And then we come into a fellowship time of a corporate body, and that's how churches are developed, as people come together, and if this person has this faith and it ties in with what that church believes and this and this and this, generally they'll stay there and they'll be like faith-minded people, and they become like-minded. And so that's what it's important, that we become like-minded in that. But also, as in the secular side, as in the worldly side, I need to come somewhat like-minded to those around us. And I want a church that's that way. Why is that? Because Jesus, I believe, has compassion, didn't he? He had compassion on this guy. Become like-minded. It's people who are described this way in the Cambridge Dictionary. They share the same opinions, the same ideas, and they share the same interest. That's what like-minded is. That's what builds the church. That's what causes the church to flourish, amen, when we have a like-mindedness. See, when we have a like-mindedness, we will have a total body unity. And when a body is not united, it's not a good body. You know, any of our illnesses in the flesh, think of that. If this arm hurts, it's causing me problems. Chances are I'm thinking more about my arm because it hurts than I'm thinking of something else that's going good or whatever the case might be. So when my body, and I'm sure you're this way too, as we get older, I'm going to tell you, when I get up in the morning and everything is functioning and I can get up and my knees don't pop and creak too bad and I can walk up and down the steps without going, I can go up and down and all that. I'm saying, hallelujah, thank you for this body. It's all in unity. So that's part of that part of like-mindedness. But then I got into this area in the scripture that I started with, was in Romans. Then I got into Philippians, and Philippians is where I went first. And I thought, but I don't want to go to Philippians. I want to go to Romans. But I stayed in Philippians because in Philippians 2, 1 through 4, the New King James talks about, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy to being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through a selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for those interests of others. It's kind of what? Putting them first. God's word says, right? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, things of that nature and all that. But, you know, we can get all kinds of spin-offs of that. But it's really, as we begin to put others before ourselves, that's a good thing, don't you believe? It takes the eyes off of myself and what I need and what I think is right, and I can listen with open heart and opened ears to what you're saying, and I can respectfully begin to see, hey, I can understand that. I can grasp that. And so that's that willingness of working back and forth. But then we got into this fellowship, and I thought of today, because when we said, we're having service, and everybody going, yay, you know, because we are a people that need assembly. But when I came across the fellowship in the Bible, the definition of that is koinonia. We come out of that. Koinonia, it's a sharing, it's a unity, it's a close association, it's a partnership, it's a fellowship, it's a brotherhood. That's why we gather together as a body. It's because it's a brotherhood or a sisterhood. It's the what? Body of Christ gathered together in one cause to say, hallelujah, stir up a hunger in me, stir up a hunger in us. Nothing will satisfy me but your love. Things of that nature. And so we find that, and that's in that koinonia. That's that fellowship. That's why all of a sudden fellowship fell in here, because that kind of piqued my interest, because we want to have fellowship. We also think of that, but it goes along to say this in that fellowshipping. Koinonia is a unity brought about by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's a dry fellowship. You know, it's a dry fellowship. But with the Holy Spirit, there's a vitality, there's a life, there's a living. The Holy Spirit is a living thing, amen? It's not just something that we say, well, it, the Holy Spirit, you know. No, He, the Holy Spirit, God in the Spirit, God in the flesh, God in the Spirit. And so koinonia, coming with that, it's like that of being brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Koinonia cements the believers to Christ as well as to others. When we have that koinonia time with God, it's through that Holy Spirit comes into us, and we have that. We have the communion. We take the cup. We take the cracker. We do this in remembrance of what Jesus did, because He what? Told us to do that until He does what? Comes back again. So we want to honor that. We are water baptized because we do that. Because why? Does anybody remember? Didn't Jesus get water baptized? Wow. See, that's what opened up my eyes to that. I'm thinking, this guy is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh. And He Himself needed John to baptize Him, because it's all showing the trail that we're to be on. Jesus did everything He did. He did it for what? An example for the disciples, and he did it for an example for us here today as you sit in these distancing chairs, okay? Jesus did it for you today to give us a playbook to know how to operate this life, to understand how do I navigate through the times that I live in. You know, I thought it was crazy back in January and February and the 1st of March, but after like the second Sunday in March, it got crazy, right? You know? It's that old thing we'd always say, well, you don't think it can get worse than this? Just wait. And somebody would say, you're kidding me. Ain't no way, you know? But it has a way of showing up. But even through this time, we need to look at that, and we can have that koinonia time by that of the Holy Spirit through us, even when we're sheltered in, of course. But when we come into a corporate body, how much more, it's so much more vital. And it just, you know, how did you feel when you came in this morning and you started seeing people in here? How did you feel when you just parked on a lot and came into the front door? It's like, is this normal, you know? Wouldn't that be great to say the church is normal? I feel like I'm back to some kind of normalcy because I entered my church door, I came into the sanctuary, I sat with my fellow believers, we sang some songs, we heard the word, and I felt fulfilled that day. Not because of what the pastor did, because this is just going by what the Spirit is flowing through me. I trust and I've asked for him to do that so that this brain gets disconnected, you know. Now, you'll tell sometimes every once in a while it does connect itself in my messages because I kind of get crazy at times, you know, I don't know. But we try to flow with the Spirit to the message of the people of today, koinonia, fellowshipping. Now, when we look at that in Philippians, the basis of our unity as Christians is expressed in a conditional clauses that begin with if. Anybody really gone through the scriptures and when you start reading if and buts? Wow. Don't read through those fast. Reread them again and again and again if you need to let that but sink in or let that if sink in and read what says after that and pay attention to it. But here's what this is. If in the Greek, in these clauses, it doesn't convey doubt. You know, sometimes in our worldly things, we go, well, if I do this, this may happen. That's a doubt. If I do that, maybe. But in the Greek and what we're reading in God's Word, it's not conveying doubt. It's not to doubt that if there is a consolation and encouragement, you know, in Christ, it's not a doubt. Because I know there is encouragement in Christ. I know that there is things in Christ that is for me or for all of us here that we can grab a hold of. But let us use instead of if, because it really means this, for the Greek would say this, since. So if I go back to Philippians 2, 1 through 4, therefore, since, and I'm going to add some other everything's in the brackets, I kind of expanded out that it shows, but therefore, since there is any consolation, that consolation, encouragement in Christ, since any comfort of love, since any fellowship of the Spirit, since any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through the selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. And the easy read version of this, it would say, think about what we have in Christ. Have you ever done that? You ever take an account of what you have in Christ throughout the week? The encouragement he has brought us, the comfort of his love, our sharing in his Spirit, and the mercy and kindness he has shown to us. If you enjoy these blessings, well then do what will make my joy complete. How is that? How can I make your joy complete? Ooh, you know, this is talking, you know, as we're talking about these things and are reading these things as Paul is sharing this. Make my joy complete is this. Agree with each other and show your love for each other. Be united in your goals and in the way that you think. And in whatever you do, don't let selfish or pride be your guide. Be humble and honor others more than yourself. Don't be interested only in your own life, but care about the lives of others too. So you can see as I began to look at this like-minded and as a body of believers and as we come together as a family of God, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, that we can come together, and I want to come in a like-mindedness setting. How about you? Amen? Now, you can let out with an amen. That's okay? You don't have to be too quiet out there. You know, I've got the spray. If I hear too many droplets coming, I'll just go. Please feel free to join in. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we find in this word like-minded. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, they didn't have a word that meant, they didn't have a word that said mind. Okay? And so what they would use to represent this would be the heart, the soul, and the spirit. Now we get into the New Testament in the Greek, they come up with a word for that, and it would be this in the Greek, they account for, it would be mind, they use the word mind, M-I-N-D, or you might come to a word in the translation that says understanding, thought, and reason. So that's all that part of when you read some scriptures in the New Testament and you come across these words of maybe reason. That's talking about your mind and your thought, of course, your mind, your understanding, your mind. So Christ is our model of conduct and relationships between those that are weak compared to those that are strong, right? And we're looking at this. Now, Paul is looking at this, and it's dealing with, and we know the New Testament is dealing a lot with the church. Paul, he's dealing with a lot with that of the Christian. And we know that we all understand this, I'm pretty sure. There are stronger Christians than others. There's some Christians that are just coming into the faith and understanding. They need to be growing in that. And there's others maybe that have been on the journey for some time. And we would look at that as possibly the weak, and this is possibly the strong, wherever the case might be. But it behooves us, again, to, if we have more understanding of the Word, if we are more Spirit-led, possibly because of our time with God and being led by the Spirit. Now, I know there are some that come to Christ, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are hearing just right on with the Holy Spirit, okay? And that's awesome, and that does happen. So I'm not saying just because you're a new Christian that, oh, you're not hearing completely from the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, sometimes find a new Christian that's just born again, come alive, the Spirit's in them, and listen to what they're saying, because the Spirit is just going boom, 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 boom. I love to listen to people like that, you know. Then, as they're saying that, if I'm a more mature Christian in the spiritual aspect, I will listen to what they're saying, but then I will kind of listen with a heart of listening and to see if it's kind of lining up with Scripture or if it's kind of following the format of what God would be about. You know, if a new Christian or a new person gets saved and they were filled with the Spirit, and all of a sudden they go up and they go, you know what, Pastor? The Holy Spirit just talked to me and says, to increase my finances, I'm going to go rob a bank. That's what the Holy Spirit said. What? Let's back up here a little bit. Are you sure? Because I don't think in God's Word it says, to increase your finances, just rob a bank. Rob a convenience store. But in their exuberance, some things happen, and the enemy it just gets another trail there we can go down. But that's where the maturity of a Christian kind of helps offset some of those things. But, you know, we need to look at being mature. And what are we as mature Christians to do? Now, in Romans 15, 1 to 6, it talks about bearing others' burdens. And it goes like this. We then, who are strong, ought to bear the scruples, or the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. You know, everything in God's Word, it seems like it always points back, you know what, Tim? You need to take a back seat to those around you and honor them and listen to them and do the best you can to help them, not you. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification or building up. That's what it's all about. We want to build people up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience or the perseverance, anybody had patience in the last 2 months? I'm just so happy I don't see, you know, lumps on people's heads and stuff. It's good. You know, slow down. I've been with you for 2 months. For whatever things were written before, written for our learning, that we, through patience or perseverance and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Do you find comfort in the Scriptures of God? Raise your hand. I do. That way you can't. Yeah, I do. I find comfort in those scriptures. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth, of course, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Living, it says this, and I'll read it through. It kind of helps clarity on some things, but it just basically says the same thing. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even God didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can look at it as far as one-mindedness with the Spirit. And something else that kind of I wrote down this morning in Romans, it kind of helps us as well. We talked about koinonia, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit within us. In Romans 8, I just put this on the back and see how this fits. It talks about setting your mind on the Spirit. See, the things that we try to do in our life, if we are not Spirit-filled, amen? If you are not Spirit-filled, even though you've received Christ, but you're saying, I don't need the Holy Spirit, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you're still kind of like acting out in flesh, because we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he will come as I leave. I must go. It's advantageous for you that I go so that he can come and teach you and show you and direct you and lead you. And if a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit and they say, well, I believe in Christ, I'm born again, I'm this and that, but I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you don't have it all. If you don't have that, I think what's going to happen, you're going to kind of still live in that carnal mind of man, the flesh. And sometime back, I had a message a couple of years back on that, because I was really kind of interested in that. And I came across it as I was kind of going through this and some of my little scratches in my Bible. But as far as, you know, carnal-minded and being reborn again and all these things and how we begin to change. But we really need to get to the onset. Number one, yes, need Jesus Christ, his cleansing blood to cleanse you of your sins, repent from your sins and turn from your sins, ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, confess him as your Lord and Savior, and ask him to come into your life, and fill me with your Spirit, Lord, you know, to overflowing. I receive your Spirit. We get that, then we begin to get on that path of hearing more from God. Here again, I probably could in my early years have thought, I don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, that's crazy. Those people are wacky. Well, then I find out when Jesus said, I got to go so he can come. It's like it makes you begin to look at that in the red thinking, there's an importance to this. And I would encourage you, and maybe you already have done this, but for the most part, when I began my walk with God is just by reading and reading and looking at the scriptures and just taking them for what they are. Don't try to put a whole lot of really like, well, did he really mean it this way, or did he mean it that way? Should I think it that way, or did he mean this way? Just read it, and here's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit in you is. What? He will enlighten you, and you will begin to get a freshness. You will begin to be taught truly of that of the Word of God, and not be taught of that of man. Now, do you understand how dangerous it is to be taught by man? I hope so, because man can construe anything he wants. I can make anything up and make it sound like it's from God or God meant it this way. And that's happening day in and day out in our society, within our church bodies, across many different denominational groups. But be cautious. Don't learn from man. Man may be the conduit, but hopefully for my conduit to you is that you're not learning really from me, that the Spirit of God, I pray and trust, is as I bring these words and I bring your Bible, check me out. What does your Bible say? Make sure that I'm not adding or taking away one or two words that makes the major difference in that. But let it be that of the Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-taught. Amen? Because if man is teaching you, man will only teach you what man wants you to know. And sometimes man gets to this point, because I've seen this in the corporate world. There's people out there that will only teach you so much so that you don't know more than them, because they don't want you to take their job. And they'll teach you up to this, and then they go, okay, that's enough for you. I want to protect myself. And that's the wrong way of teaching, guys. Because when I was in the corporate side, I taught anybody that was under me everything that I knew plus, and if they could do my job better than me, hallelujah, it just made my job easier. And through that, there were several different promotions that came up through the ranks to where they came into their own district to the point of, why is that? Because I tried to put whatever I had of knowledge of what little it was, but of putting it into these people, teaching them, showing them, so that they can take that ball and run with it further than maybe I could run. With that of man in the church, some of them might only want to tell you just so much, so that I have to go to the pastor to make sure if I can do this or that. No. When my whole change happened in my life and my career and leaving secular job to the ministry, you know who I conferred with? God. It's kind of dangerous. Don't do this. I wouldn't suggest that, but not really even with my wife. You know, she'll tell you that. I didn't even confer with Pastor Hoblett here. When he came back from a vacation, he walked in. That's when he found out that I left my job. He goes, "You what? You what?" I said, "I feel God's called me into ministry to be a help to you, and here I am." Okay. But I'm going to tell you, when you are hearing from God, and it resonates in your spirit, and when you question him, and you have doubts, and you ask him those things, and you stay still before him, or you go to his word and let him share his word with you to minister to that question that I just had for you, God, and you open it up and he's taking it through scriptures and you're reading things, and all of a sudden that scripture, that verse, that particular story in the Bible resonates with where you're at that time, that kairos, or whatever, you know, there's chromos and kairos. I don't know if the kairos would be that specific time in my life, that it was a God thing, but it was the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and not being led by man. Because I could go talk to men, and they might have said, "Tim, you better really rethink this. This is a crazy thing to do. You're throwing a lot away to say, I'm going to go serve God." But you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He says, even those of Christian faith, your Christian brothers, is what he so told me, not sisters, your Christian brothers, they will not even understand this. And he's kind of like telling me, don't listen to them. He said, those that are going to think you're crazy are those of your church family. I thought, well, that's interesting, God. I thought we're like-minded, you know. But no, we are, but we're not. In certain individual things, you know, personally, it's a thing with God in you, God in you, God in you. God is a couple, is a husband and wife. God is a whatever the family. You know, it kind of ripples out depending upon what God is talking to you about. But here's what helped in Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Anybody been there? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and that's fleshly, to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, or that fleshly mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Is the Spirit of God dwelling in you today? I hope so, because if it is, you will be led through this life right where God wants you to go, to do what God wants you to do, to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, because God is in you, directing you and leading you through that of the Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The key to that is what I gained out of that is, you know, we set our mind on the Spirit and we have the Spirit in us so that we can do these things that we need to do. So in the New Testament, when we think about the mind covers the thought of either good or evil. When we talk about the mind in the New Testament, our mind either does good things or bad things. Good things we think or evil things we think. With this direction, let's just narrow it down, and we don't have much longer, and I think we can. We lock the doors, and you cannot touch the handles. So in the New Testament, the mind is covered of about either thoughts of evil or good. Oh my gosh, didn't Paul say that? Oh, things I should do, I don't. The things that I don't do, I should. And oh, the evil of the body, and I'm fighting this warring thing. And I always felt like a boxer, man. I thought my spirit man and the Holy Spirit, sometimes they're inside of me. Anybody had a boxing match going on in your flesh and your spirit? And then pretty soon you got to say, oh, God, give me the strength. Give me the strength. Give me the right way, Lord. And then finally you got to speak to the flesh and say, down, flesh, down. For the count, 1, 2, 3, 4. Because the Holy Spirit will always win out. The Holy Spirit will always win out over your flesh. But you got to stay in it. You got to stay in the fight. Amen. My flesh could have continued to rise up and do this and do this and do this, but I knew I had enough of the Spirit in me to say, that's my body speaking, that's my mind. The evil of my mind is thinking this. I got to battle that, because why is that? We talk about having the mind of Christ. Once we get that mind of Christ in us, don't you think we begin to think like like-minded people? And like what Christ did, I do nothing, I say nothing, but what I see or hear or see my Father saying or doing. I mean, it's a belief. I believe we can even just in our private times, quiet time with God, meditating before Him, that you will hear His voice speak to you by that of the Spirit. It'll be clear as the birds that you hear tweeting outside. Nobody else is hearing it, but you're hearing it in your spirit. And you might say, is that you? There's a story of that back in the Old Testament. How many times did that guy get up and go? Yes, did you call? No, no, somebody else did. Go back to bed. In 1 Corinthians, it says this. We'll just read some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have got the best thing available. The best thing, the mind of Christ. Can you imagine having the mind of Christ in a situation like we're in today? With this illnesses and the viruses and all that, is to have the mind of Christ. Now, there's certain things that I do or don't do in social distancing, and I follow that and do this and that. I may not wear gloves. There's times I have wore gloves when I felt a need to wear gloves. But there's times also that I always, after I go to the post office or come from shopping or whatever, or whatever the case might be, I will wipe my hands when I get in the car. I'll wipe my steering wheel down. I'll do those things. I'm not thinking that's foolishness, but I'm thinking, hey, what's the harm? If nothing else, it's clean. But see, the Spirit in you will kind of give you a forewarning. I might say, oh, I don't need to wear a mask when I go shopping and all, but you know what? One day I might go to the store and all of a sudden I might hear the Spirit in me say, you know, you ought to wear a mask today. Put it on. Be led by the Spirit. If it's required by law or by a mandate of the store, you're going to do it to obey them anyway. You go to Menards, you're going to have to wear it. I had to do it, you know. But be led by the Spirit, not just in the times that we're in today, but after this is over with and we go on to the next, whatever the next is, continue to be led by the Spirit, to be a church that of like-mindedness, to have that fellowship together. As the scriptures say in the easy read version for 1 Corinthians, who can know what is on the Lord's mind? Who is able to give him advice? But we have been given Christ's way of thinking. We are instructed to be united in the mind. I'm going to tell you, when you become united in the mind, there is nothing, nothing that will stop you. As a church comes united, as a united front on how we're going to handle this, nothing will stop you. You know, you're looking at the secular side as a nation and things of that nature when we've gone through wars and Memorial Day is coming up on Monday. Remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life? A lot of young men and women throughout our ages, they took that battle cry and they went. Because they had a cause or something that they believed in. They were united in the thought that I'm going to go and do whatever I can do to accomplish that. But they have a one mindset, a unit of we're going to do this. And so with Memorial Day coming, you know, think of a quick time of silence to honor those men and women that have fallen before us. And there will be those that continue, you know, until Jesus comes back. But to have that mindset. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we just got done reading that. It says, for us to live holy, it's going to require us to seek out spiritual wisdom from God, not wisdom of this world. Boy, don't you believe that? Listen to the world. Listen to what they tell you to do or not do, and it changes like every week. As we choose to be around other believers, it will help us from being influenced by the world's values or by the world's ways. That's why it's so great to have a church fellowship time. Koinonia, we come together, like-minded. We can come and sponge off of one another or something, and above all, we're sponging off of God to the point of, I just want to soak in more of you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Just fill me, Lord, before I go back out there. We need to remember that the natural mind cannot receive or understand from the Holy Spirit. Okay, we've talked about that. The fleshly mind, it just doesn't comprehend these things. You talk to the world out there about that, and they go, woo, 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 woo. But anyway, we'll find out. The natural mind cannot receive or understand from the Holy Spirit. From this, we understand that those spiritually alive can discern spiritual wisdom. From this, understand, those that are spiritually alive can discern spiritual wisdom. Are you today? Ask yourself, am I spiritually alive? Hallelujah. I hope you are. If not, let us pray. Hey, Lord, fill us, refill us, continually fill us. I'm dried up. Fill me with some more. Wow. And then closing out here, let's just wrap it up. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Hello. Anybody got an opinion? I got a two or three on the same thing. I'm confused within myself. So do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 12:16. It talks about having compassion on others. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Or be humble. Humble. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's why people don't get help from God, is because they don't humble themselves. They think, I can do it. I don't need your help. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I know what I'm doing. Just get out of my way. I had to humble many times before God. How about you? In situations throughout my time with him, which has been, gosh, over a couple of decades now, but it's growing, but I still at times have to humble myself and think, you know what, Tim? That's your opinion. That's not really probably what God's thinking. And the New Living, it says this for 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. See how important it is, like-minded, one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted, which is show brotherly love, being humble. Keep a humble attitude. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if we can do that in the days that we live, you will have a good day. Things won't get at you. Just be led by that of the Spirit, amen? So as our church, and we're wrapping it up here now, we want to become like-minded. We want to honor one another. We want to respect one another. We want to make it a comfortable setting for everybody. And so I hope you feel that way today. And if we can do it a little different for like next Sunday, feel free to let me know. You know, if it's like, hey, I think everybody ought to wear a mask, you know, we'll do that, you know. And those that don't think we need to, we'll wear it just because. But, you know, it's just, I think the whole thing, I saw, and you know, talking with some of our pastor friends, it's like that was part of the parts out there of just trying within their own churches. And some churches are not opening until like a week or two, or maybe next week. And I think one church in town is opening today, kind of like a dry run. And then they're going to open up like full board next Sunday, which, like, okay. And so even as pastors, it's been interesting the last couple of weeks on our video Wednesday prayer and coffee time. That we've talked and discussed and how to advance this into the body to get it back to where we're meeting as believers, amen, Now, like last week, I couldn't because I said, anybody got anything to add? You guys are all in your cars with your windows closed. And I'm looking around, does anybody have something to add? And I'm thinking, ugh. They're in the car going, hey. But anybody want to share anything before we go? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of gathering. Lord, it has been great to come into your presence as a body. Father, I pray that the message will touch the hearts of the people. And that, Father, we all leave here learning something more of you, an understanding of the fellowship and the like-mindedness of your body. I thank you, Lord, that you have not left us nor have forsaken us, but you are right there in our steps with us as we invite you to go with us. We just pray against that coronavirus, Lord, that, Lord, you will protect us from any kind of a bug or anything that might come upon us. We pray for divine health, divine strength right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.